good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, and Native news from all over Turtle Island. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post. You could find it at 700 Nicollet Mall in Minneapolis, supporting Native American artists.
Well, we're really excited. It looks like the whole Dream Team's here today, and Ogma's back from her world tour, concert tour that she's just returned, and we're glad to see her back. And back, we're going to be hitting hard with the news, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the news in the second segment. And, of course, today is Bob Blake from Red Lake, and we'll be talking solar news, and then cleaning up with Wendy, and we're going to talk some more about our relatives, our indigenous little Native friends, our sacred animals. So without any further ado, let's bring back the rock star, Ogaba. Welcome back.
Hi, Anim Bujur, everybody. It's good to be back. I don't know, did Robert and Wendy tell you why I was gone? Was that covered while I was gone? unfortunately, we had a death of a young member of my family. So I was in California over this past week, helping family out there to deal with that very sudden tragedy. So I'm happy to be back in Minnesota. I was greeted back in Minnesota by snow last night as I flew in. And also the unfortunate news today, which I'm just going to start with, is that the first U.S. case of the COVID Omicron variant was identified in California, where I just came back from. So I will be watching myself like a hawk to make sure that I am not symptomatic protecting those that I can after my recent my need for travel here into California. So as we are seeing more and more of these variants coming by, I would encourage your relatives to get vaccinated, get your booster if you can. I have been vaccinated. I did receive my booster. My daughter has her first vaccine and is getting her second one soon. And with all of these variants that are coming out, I do feel personally a lot more protected with those vaccines on board. So just food for thought for that one, welcoming myself back in today. As always, I'd like to talk a little bit about Line 3 and what's happening in Line 3 news. Honor the Earth has been really busy. Honor the Earth's leader, Winona LaDuke, spoke to President Biden in his visit to Dakota County Technical College in Rosemount, Minnesota, as he was talking about the bipartisan infrastructure package. And Winona said that Winona said President Biden's infrastructure law makes investments in good pipes for clean water, which is something that indigenous people have called for many years. And what we don't need are poison pipes like Enbridge's Line 3 in polluting the Mississippi watershed as we speak. So that is her statement after Biden's visit on the 30th. And then just today, Honor the Earth has started a petition for the Public Utilities Commission of Minnesota to promptly open a new docket, which would establish a pipeline abandonment trust fund. And they did this citing Enbridge's recent depreciation of its mainline system, which is the existing Canadian fund, and the growing risk of stranded fossil fuel assets. So basically, they filed a petition with the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission that basically says that Enbridge's depreciation study update, which it filed with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission in May of this year, assumes a 20-year economic life for Enbridge's mainline system pipelines, including but not limited to the new Line 3. And that period is actually 10 years shorter than the economic life stated by Enbridge during the commission's evidentiary hearing. So basically, Enbridge is trying to insure their pipe for 20 years, but the period of time is that's 10 years shorter than the economic life. So basically, they're trying to get out of being responsible for their pipe 10 years earlier, which if you follow Enbridge and some of their company's policies, we can't say that we're really surprised. Enbridge shortened the economic life of its pipeline network due to an anticipated reduction in demand to transport Canadian crude oil. And that would also be expected to reduce both Enbridge's financial capacity to pay for the cost of abandoned pipelines and decrease its property tax payments to the northern Minnesota counties in which the pipeline passes. So Enbridge gave money to these counties saying it was going to bring the tax rate up. And now they're saying that, just kidding. It's not going to be worth that much money down the road. So this is really interesting, and I find it really prudent of Honor the Earth to be petitioning the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission for this, to talk about what that damage could be. This filing is in hopes to protect Minnesota landowners and state and local governments who would then have to pay for the cost of abandoning the new Line 3 in 20 years, because Enbridge would no longer be financially responsible for it after the 20-year mark. But as you know, or as you may have known already, the old Line 3 that Enbridge has already abandoned will remain in the ground and is a liability for Minnesota landowners and the state of Minnesota as a whole. So this will be ongoing as we find out more information about that. But I really found that to be prudent and looking forward. And I'm excited to hear that that's coming for us here in Minnesota. In other national news from Indians.com in Washington, there was a man who claimed to be a Native artist, and he's actually been charged under the by violating the Indian Arts and Crafts Act for illegally possessing eagle feathers and other bird parts. The man's name is Louis Anthony Rath, who goes by Tony Rath, and he claimed to be a part of the San Carlos Apache tribe, which is a federally recognized nation from Arizona, and he was marketing and promoting his work as Indian made. However, federal agents determined that he was not a lineal descendant or an enrolled member of the San Carlos Apache tribe or any other federal or state recognized Indian tribe in the United States. Rath has since admitted he is not a lineal descendant, and that he later found out that he was enrolled through, or that he had DNA testing stating he maybe had some Mayan ancestry from Mexico. But has been going around and selling his crafts for thousands of dollars, claiming that he is Mayan, Mexican, and Apache with no ties to any of those tribes, and will be tried under the Indian Arts and Crafts Act, which was started in 1990. It's a federal law that makes it a crime for anyone to market their goods as Indian-made unless they actually belong to a federally or state-recognized tribe or are a certified as an Indian artist by a federally or state-recognized tribe. So this law protects consumers from buying fraudulent goods, but also protects the livelihood of American Indians and Alaskan artists who rely on their traditions to make a living for themselves. So good to see that somebody was busted and that they, you know, the federal government, they actually used undercovers to catch him, which is really exciting that they did undercovers for that. And then another quick national news, I suppose. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, the 4th annual Indigenous Bowl is going to happen this weekend. The event's hosted by the Minnesota Vikings and brings together Native high school football players, or the best of Native high school football players, rather. And athletes get to have the opportunity to work with coaches, mentors, and former professional football players. So that'll be an exciting one to follow if you're in the Minneapolis area or a big football fan, like my auntie. Shout out to you, Auntie Charmaine, the diehard Vikings fan. Wanted to give her a shout out today.
Oh, wow. Wendy, it's so great to have Ogama back. I didn't mean to make light of you're gone and what you were doing, Ogama. We just kept it under wraps. I didn't know you were going to talk about it. So we're really sad and support everything that you do with your family. And so we're glad, but we're really glad you're back. And again, absolutely. I didn't mean to make light of that.
Oh, we're good, Robert. We're good. I just figured I'd share with people why I was out. I'm not usually gone. So
right. Well, hey, up next, give us a call, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, and just give us a hi. And up then we'll have Solar Bear. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Ugh, things are feeling so empty and lonely. I wish I could still see my friends.
Oh, hi, Mark. How have you been?
I don't know, dude. Things have just been... I don't know, actually. It's been many different things. I've mostly just felt alone.
Yeah, I know that feeling all too well, man. But things are starting to look up.
Huh? Oh, yeah. How so?
Well, they're coming out with new vaccines. We could finally see our friends again.
Yeah, I've heard of those, but I just don't know where to get them.
Well, you can get them at a vaccination clinic.
This message is brought to you by McGeezy Communications and Minnesota Department of Health.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
So we can give us a call here at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, and give us a quick shout out. Hey, you guys, I have a quick question for Ogama. I was with Winona a couple nights ago at the concert, and she's got that music video out there. We haven't really talked much about it. Do you know much about the music video with Jackson Brown Music and the collaboration that Jackson Brown did with Honor the Earth?
You know, background-wise, I don't really know that much about it. I do have access to the video. We could play it if you wanted to. I believe it's about 4 minutes. But what it is the Jackson Brown song, I Am a Patriot. And the video that is dubbed over it is from the Shell River Seven, from Winona LaDuke and six other elder women who took a stand at the Shell River this past summer and are all facing pretty seriously escalated charges for refusing to let workers continue on their path to create more destruction in the Shell River. I believe at the time, the Shell River, they had the boom, the little yellow boom floaty things out there. I don't even know what to call them because I can't imagine that they're very effective in the event of a spill. We're floating in the Shell River, and they weren't going to stand and watch this water continue to be destroyed while Enbridge Debayan did nothing. So they took action and chained themselves together and blocked the construction like so many people here in Minnesota have. I believe there's just over 1,000 people have been arrested in Minnesota trying to stop Line 3. Have you heard any different numbers than that?
No, that's roughly what I heard, but it's when you say that, it's ridiculous that we have people that are protecting water and resources for everyone, and then we have somebody that, you know, killed two people and wounded another person. That's out of jail, you know. It blows my mind. It just really blows my mind. Wendy, do you have any comments on that?
No, we always say, Robert, you know, things don't really look you know, we feel like we're living in the upside down world when those two perspectives, you know, are on each end of the table and they don't really make much sense. So water protectors are going to jail and being, you know, handcuffed and strip searched and treated badly. And, you know, like you said, somebody who can jump into a situation with a machine gun and shoot people is off free. So,
yeah, upside down world. Go ahead.
Don't make much sense. Yeah.
No. Yeah. The world is an absolute mess. And, you know, on that note, I do want to put in a quick prayer call for the families in Michigan right now. There was another high school shooting in Michigan over this week. And
yesterday,
we want to put our prayers up to that family. A fourth child has just died. And I believe they had identified the shooter as a 15-year-old boy who will be tried as an adult. But 15, I mean, I know what I was doing at 15, and it certainly wasn't that. So the other thing, too, here, I did find my my news release from the I Am a Patriot video. So if you haven't seen the video yet, you can go to honorearth.org/shell, like a seashell, and the number 7. And it is a Jackson Browne's impassioned version of I Am a Patriot, which was written by Stephen Van Zandt, who's an actor and a songwriter, and the legendary E Street Band member of Bruce Springsteen's group. And then it's basically a documentary music video of the Shell River Seven, and it was produced by the award-winning director, Carrie Pickett. So make sure to shout out Carrie Pickett as well. Her work is amazing.
I didn't know Stevie Van Zandt. Little Stevie is what Bruce always called him. And then
he was also on The Sopranos.
Right. He was in The Sopranos, one of the greatest TV shows of all time. I didn't know that part. I don't know. Maybe we should play the video here with like 4 minutes left and go out of the show if nobody calls. But want to give a shout out. I saw Joey Peltier at the concert. Saw Joey's sister, who's been on our show many times. Saw a lot of people, water protectors out there at the Jackson Browne James Taylor concert, and it was really interesting too. Just a side note, I did not know this, and I've been sober 37 years. James Taylor sobered up right after John Belushi OD'd and has been sober ever since. And so that was an interesting story. And then he talked about one of the songs he wrote about it. And I got you a T-shirt, Wendy. I'm sorry you weren't in town for that because we're used to people singing in the back of our heads and never wanting to go to a concert again. But this was a chill, mellow concert. Older people and masks everywhere. So that was really a lot different than what I experienced when I went to the hockey game for Heritage month here at the Wild. It was like I felt like I was in an upside down world there too, with no masks and people flexing their muscles and things like that. So we're soon to have Rob join us here, who's on line one. Rob, stop in. You're a patriot. Come on in and talk to us.
Well, thank you, and thank you for everything you do, and my condolences especially go out to Ogama. I'm very sorry to hear about the loss of your family member.
Thank you for everything you do. Hey, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
So were you going to talk about I'm a Patriot, Rob?
I just linked the YouTube link in the comments on Facebook.
Yeah, you did. Hey, Robin, I see you right now, and I really appreciate all your input in the show when we're on Facebook and YouTube. And thank you so much for listening. We have deep respect for people like you that hold on to our space and promote us and are supporters of us. So, Pini Gigi for giving us a call and also supporting us.
Well, thank you, and take care.
All right, you too. Wow. Hey, Rob always has good things to say if you're following us on Facebook or YouTube. And then we see Tracy. I was sitting next to Tracy Strong, and she said it was an awesome concert. So it was good seeing you and all the water protectors up there. So we got 4 minutes left. Is it too quick or too late to put that song on, Ogama? Go.
I think I can manage it. I'm going to put it up here. I just want to make sure to give another quick shout out to River Aikman and Sarah Little Redfeather for shooting the footage that Carrie Pickett compiled. So without further ado, here's I Am a Patriot by Jackson Browne and the Shell River 7 documentary video.
And the river opens for the righteous. 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 And the river opens for the righteous someday. I was walking with my brother, and he wondered what's on my mind. I said what I believe in my soul ain't what I see with my eyes, and we can't turn our back this time. I am a patriot and I love my country, because my country is all I know. I wanna be with my understand me. I've got nowhere else to go. And the river opens for the righteous. And the river opens for the righteous. And the river opens for the righteous someday. And I was talking with my sister. She looked so fine. Baby, what's on your mind? She said, I want to run like the lion, release from the cages, release from the rages burning in my heart tonight. Yeah. And I ain't no communist, and I ain't no capitalist, and I ain't no socialist. And I ain't no imperialist, and I ain't no Democrat, sure ain't no Republican. I only know one party, and it is freedom. I am a patriot, and I love my country, because my country is all I know. And the river opens for the righteous. And the river opens for the righteous. And the river opens for the righteous someday.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Bonjour, relatives. My name is Deanna Standing Cloud. I'm from the Red Lake Nation, and I live in Minneapolis today. As the weather gets colder, you're probably going to spend more time indoors, but it's important to stay safe and healthy. The COVID-19 pandemic is still not over, and now the flu season is upon us. So protect you and your loved ones by getting vaccinated against both the flu and COVID-19. COVID booster shots have now been approved for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And you're eligible if you're over 65 and if you're over 18 and have underlying health conditions or work in a high-risk setting. What's cool is your booster shot does not need to be of the same brand as your original series of shots. And you can receive a booster shot of any brand that's available to you. Children over the age of 5 are now eligible for a vaccine as well. So let's protect our relatives in Indian Country this winter and get vaccinated. Be a vaccinative like me. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. Neekwich Bizendawian.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strongheart's Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strongheart's Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
Hi, Don from Wisco Home Goods here. Jeremy and I handcraft our
Sexual Assault Coalition.
You want to say that again, Wendy?
I'm sorry. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition. Sorry, I didn't hear you, Robert.
No, that's okay. Just a little mix-up here on the commercials and stuff, but the mothership is recovering. But most importantly, we have Bob Blake from Red Lake, who is the solar bear, and he brings in the solar news. And it was great to see you at that concert, Bob. James Taylor talking about recovery. And Jackson Brown just doing the good thing, and Winona and all those water protectors there in one row, one long row.
Yeah, I lost a really good friend, Robert, last year. Just a brother to me, Rob Bolio, up in Red Lake. And we used to jokingly say that we'll play James Taylor, Fire and Rain, right? Mm-hmm. We get older and one of us goes. And I got choked up, Robert,
yeah,
when James Taylor played Fire and Rain. And I drank my beer and I finished it and I saluted to my brother Rob. But it was such a magical moment to listen to James Taylor and to be able to hoist one for my for Rob. So it was a really special moment that night.
Yeah. By the time I saw you, you were drinking water. So, hey, good one.
Yeah. Well, they closed the bar on me. They closed bad the bar play on me. No choice there.
Oh, bad play.
But yeah, that. It was a great night. We had a blast. Yeah. And that was so great to see you, Robert. And yeah, it was just a really remarkable evening. But wow, James Taylor, Fire and Rain. I can't get over that.
Well, Wendy's in New York, and she's got FOMO, so we're not going to talk any more about this right now. We're going to move on. But I did get her a T-shirt, Bob, so she can pretend and wear that like she's been there, right, Wen?
Yeah.
Exactly. Wendy, that's what I'll do.
Wendy, by the way, he was like, I got to find Wendy a shirt. He actually said that. He was like, I'm looking for the vendors, and he's like, I got to find Wendy a shirt. He said that to me. I swear he said that to me.
He knows how I love to watch wear my t-shirts. So,
yeah, exactly. Well,
so Robert, I got some really cool stories here. The auto industry expects over half of the vehicle sales over this decade here to be electric vehicles. So how about that?
Wow! 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 Wow!
That's incredible. That's
it is.
And the thing that worries me is, like, I mean, literally they're going to have these, like, assembly lines moving 24/7 if they're going to meet that demand.
Wow. Wow, wow. Union yeah. jobs.
Yeah. Great point, Robert. union jobs, auto workers and the union jobs. And so I think that's an incredible story. Another really cool story coming out of Maryland, a 9.2 megawatt solar array is on the roof of a commercial warehouse. This is the largest rooftop community solar project in the United States. And so, you know, that's where the community can all subscribe to this warehouse. And that's kind of the idea behind the depot over in South Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea behind that project right there. So, but this is incredible. A 9.2 megawatt. That is massive.
Wow, wow, wow.
Bob, is there any way for you to put that in some perspective for me to understand that kind of size of energy?
Yeah. Think about it like this.
Can you compare it to football fields or something?
Oh, yeah. I want to say, like, you know, that's like, oh, wow. How many football fields is that? Wendy, I'd have to sit there and say, how many football fields is that?
Okay.
Wow. Think about that kind of scale. 9.2 megawatts. That's a big solar garden.
Okay.
That's massive.
Awesome.
So I don't know how many football, 10 football fields or something.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
It's a huge football. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Olga.
I have a quick number. So it's between 5 and 10 acres per megawatt of generating capacity for solar scale power plants. So 5 to 10 acres per megawatt. So when we're talking about that many megawatts, that's a lot of acres.
Yeah. About 100 acres, right? I mean, for the solar farm, Wendy, that's crazy.
I ran out of fingers. I couldn't count it that high.
And then, Robert, this is the International Energy Association has said that this is going to be another record year for renewable installations around the world. Another record year. And then here's another good story out of Canada. It says here it's all downhill for Alberta as the quality discounts hits $14 per barrel. That means that the price for the oil coming out of Canada is really just going is downhill now. So because the tar sands oil is so hard to transport and refine, that this just makes no sense economically for them to continue to even have that oil even refined or dug up off the ground. I mean, that's incredible, guys. So why do we have line 3 once again?
Or line 5 or all the
why
other.
Why do we have line 5? This just makes no sense.
Right.
So I just think it's an incredible story. Coming out of Canada there. And of course, guys, once again, yours truly is like in all these new stories out there around the electric vehicle charging network. And so that's pretty exciting. Check them out. I put it on my Facebook. And then Robert, I've got I am going to be interviewing the legendary, incredible, beautiful Tara Huska, for the Great Northern Festival in January.
Wow.
So check it out. Go to the Great Northern Festival .com or whatever I think it is. And I get to sit down with her and ask her questions.
Awesome. We usually have her on the show and we just let her speak her truth, but you get to ask her questions. That's awesome.
Yeah. And she gets to ask me questions. So it's going to be really cool, but I'm super excited about this, and I think it's really going to be a cool piece to the Great Northern Festival. But yeah, they wanted to originally do it at the Fitzgerald Theater.
Wow.
And I was telling them, I said, we need to do it in the Native community. Like, we need to do it at the Indian Center or, like, you know. And so they got us a spot over there to do the interview at.
Nice. So is it going to be live, or are we going to be able to share it out, or how's that?
Absolutely. I believe it's going to be recorded or live. Yeah, they have a big old thing set up for it. It's going to be like two chairs and, you know, they're going to have a big old shindig on it. So.
Big, like big chairs? Is that what you meant? It's going to be a
big chairs. Really big chairs. Wait,
come on. That's a question for you.
When is it? When is the Great Northern Festival? I'm showing end of January into February of 2022 in Minneapolis. Is that right?
Yep. That's
okay. I did find the website.
Right now. It's going to be at All My Relations Gallery. Cool.
Oh, okay. So
that's
what
it's going to be. And it's January 31st at 5:30 p.m. 5 p.m. Doors open.
Well, hopefully it's not during our show.
Right? Oh, I didn't know. I just pulled it up right now.
We'll have to maybe do a simulcast or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I just wanted to share that. Boy, I really went through my stories fast tonight, Robert.
Well, I think we have extra time here because something happened at the mothership with our other commercials. So you got 4 minutes, but let's ask you a few questions here. So, the nations all across Turtle Island, a lot of them are successfully going into solar, and I always forget too because one of the person that I met that works with you, she said not to forget wind, and I always kind of forget wind because of your name isn't Wind Bear, it's Solar Bear, so I always kind of forget about talking about wind energy too, but that's exciting too. And I know a long time ago you told me that solar during the day and wind at night, and it will transform nations all across Turtle Island.
Yeah, and look at what Joe McNeil is doing out at Standing Rock with Sage, and they're creating that big wind, utility out there, right? And so that's what they're doing out there. But Robert, they have so much. I mean, the wind out in North Dakota and South Dakota is crazy. You know what
I mean? It is.
So. The problem I think we have here, and we get good wind too here in Minnesota, but I think the problem here in Minnesota especially is we have a lot of trees. There's windmills are awesome. Yeah, windmills are great. I think with here in the Minnesota piece, or at least this area, I'm a big proponent of solar, but wind is actually really great too. So hydro, right? There's hydro, there's wind. I think any renewable energy source that we can use is in my opinion, the best way to do things. Because let's just quit burning coal. Like, that's the big thing, everyone. Let's quit digging up coal. Let's quit digging up fossil fuels and putting them in the air. That's just the bottom line. So any way we can get energy is, I think, better, especially with renewables.
Olga's on fire. She's got another question.
Do you know much about geothermal for like heating your home and things like that? The more I learn about it, the more I'm like, why isn't everybody doing this? It's crazy. Tell me about it.
Winona does that, right?
Yeah. Red Lake's got a lot of geothermal, Olga. We've got geothermal in the homes up in Red Lake. So it's just digging down deep, right, and circulating the water that comes up from the ground. And that's a great way to cool and heat your home, right, through geothermal. So I'm all about geothermal. That's another way that I think that we can definitely use renewables in a really smart way, right? So it's really going to take all of these technologies, Robert, working in conjunction with each other to really give us that 24/7 need for that we're going to need for our energy, because our energy needs are 24/7.
Right, exactly. And another thing, too, that we talk about, and I just want to remind people that maybe are first listening to you or the show, is that batteries are going way down in cost, too. So that's really exciting. Tell us a little bit about that. We got about a minute left.
Yeah, I mean, the storage technology, vanadium flow batteries, we're getting up in Red Lake. I mean, we're lithium batteries. I mean, the technology for batteries are just getting better each day, every week. I mean, they're coming out with something new. The other thing about this is, too, I just read an article that a company is actually getting nuclear fusion put together. So this is like harnessing the sun. This is the sun, Robert. Basically, you're harnessing the sun So, I mean, where we're going to go in the future, who knows? But all I do know is that renewable energy is going to project us forward.
Yeah. And, you know, these are things, Bob, and I don't know, you're younger than Wendy and I, but these are things that that are definitely what they were talking about in science fiction books that are finally coming to fruition. And the oil companies can no longer block this. Like,
you know. Right on. Like Mark just said, hemp batteries. I mean, that's where it's at, man. Like, honestly, that's where it's at. And I mean, we're getting it, Robert, and it's happening. And the cost of scales, Moore's Law, all these prices are coming down. And so that's what I'm really excited about, for all this to be a part of it. And I'm right in the middle of it all.
And we have solar bear swag. We'll probably get some solar panels thrown up on our garage soon. And then you're going to help the nation that I work with to start the renewable agenda, start. So, hey, great to have you, Bob. We'll be right back.
Solar bear with the solar news.
We'll be right back. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Oh.
Awesome. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's from New York, and she's in New York right now. And she works tirelessly on our sacred animals all over Turtle Island, and she always has a little something to say every day about our sacred animals. And, you know, Wendy, welcome, and tell us your name and whatever you want to tell us.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega, as everybody knows, Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. And I always like to thank Curtis for my meaningful name, and it means a lot to me. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. It's funny, Bob Blake talking about renewable energy and everything like that. Last night, I signed on to Apple TV because I wanted to watch this movie called Finch, if anybody wants to see it. I really liked it. Tom Hanks stars in it. But the premise of the movie is that he is living in a time when the Earth can no longer sustain human life because the ozone layer is gone and that climate change has made the world so bad that there are hardly any humans left in the world. And he actually traveled from the middle of the country out west. And it was very profound that he saw a butterfly because he hadn't seen a butterfly in years and years and years. And he knew seeing this butterfly was a sign of life, right? And I got to thinking about butterflies and the monarch butterflies, and I wanted to learn a little bit more about them. And I found a really good article about them, but I just wanted to read a little bit more about monarchs so we know that why they're so important and why we need them for our Earth to sustain us. Not only the bumblebees are pollinators, but so are the monarch butterflies, and we're losing them. More than beautiful, monarch butterflies contribute to the health of our planet. While feeding on nectar, they pollinate many types of wildflowers. The flowers they choose are varieties that are brightly colored, grow in clusters, stay open during the day, and have flat surfaces that serve as landing pads for their tiny guests. Monarch butterflies are also an important food source for birds, small animals, and other insects. And I didn't know this, and I find this really interesting, that the vivid markings on the monarch butterfly serves as a skull and crossbones warning, signaling poison to the butterfly's predators. Female monarchs lay their eggs on the underside of poisonous milkweed leaves. As the caterpillar hatches, it eats its own eggs, then switches to a diet of milkweed leaves. The milkweed toxins remain permanently in the monarch system even after the caterpillar metamorphoses into a butterfly. Animals that eat a monarch become very sick. Thereafter, they will avoid this distinctively patterned butterfly. So I thought that was really interesting, and I had no idea about that. But I did find an article here, NPR News, and it's dated November 26, 2021, and it was written by Michael Levitt. And it's good news. The title is "The Butterflies Are Back. Annual Migration of Monarchs Show Highest Numbers in Years." Every year, monarch butterflies from all over the western United States migrate to coastal California to escape the harsh winter weather. In the 1980s and 1990s, more than 1 million made the trip each year. Those numbers have plummeted more than 99% in recent years. The last few years, we've had less than 30,000 butterflies, biologist Emma Pelton says. Last year, we actually dropped below 2,000 butterflies. So really an order of magnitude change in a short time period. Pelton works with the Xerxes Society for Invertebrate Conservation and says pesticides and habitat loss play a role in that decline. But this year, the numbers are starting to pick up. Biologists and volunteers across California have already counted more than 100,000 monarchs. Richard Rackman is a coordinator for the Xerxes Society's annual Thanksgiving Monarchs Count in Los Angeles County and has been buoyed by the numbers. It's kind of magical to just be in this closed-in woodland, and then all of a sudden, poof, They're like a Disneyland fairy princess surrounded by butterflies, he says. Connie Day is a volunteer that works with Rackman and met him at Woodland Cemetery in Santa Monica to connect an early morning count last week. They went out while it was still dark and the butterflies were still not fluttering. It's really hard to count them when they're moving, Day says. You know, when you first see them, they look like the trees are dripping. And when they begin to flutter, we have people come and see them for the first time and they gasp. I mean, I gasp, and I've been doing it for a long time, she said. Day said they have seen around 200 monarchs there in the past weeks, and the duo found more than 100 near the beach that morning. The count continues until December 5th, and so far this year, members are encouraging overall. But Pelton said it's too early to know what is causing this resurgence. Nature has given us a second chance, but I do think we're in a really dangerous territory, she said. The population has really never been so low as it has been in the last 3 years. I think this is really good reason to take heart that there may still be time to make a difference. Pelton says if you live in Western United States, you could help by planting native milkweed and flowers in your yard, a small act that could give a big boost to the monarchs. And I know that we did that, Robert. We made a conscious decision to tear up our lawn in our front yard, and we planted all native plants that will be a pollinator garden for butterflies, bees, hummingbirds, and birds alike. So I'm really happy that we're able to do that.
Yeah, me too.
But we need our monarchs, and they are beautiful.
Yeah, we tried to do milkweed too, and that comes and goes. And I think last year, just because of the drought, our sage didn't do well, and also a lot of things. But these things that you planted out front are going to really last for a long time, and they are deep into the soil. So, you know, when we water them, they'll be full of thirstiness.
Yeah, and over this winter, I plan on learning about all those plants that we planted because I don't really know too much about them. So it'll be fun to learn about them and to find out what kind of animals and insects they'll attract.
Hey, I want to give a special shout out to Bob Blake for being on today. And I want to, again, welcome back, Ogama. We don't know how we did it without you for this time.
It was hard. We suffered.
Yeah, we are the seventh generation. We're still here.
Free Leonard Peltier, stop line 3. Please get vaccinated.